the Fox Cities Score Chapter, and News Talk 1150 WHBY are pleased to bring you Biz Talk. Join Tony and Randy as they talk with entrepreneurs and professionals who share their experiences from starting to sustaining growth. Learn the skills needed for your business to be successful and get interactive by calling 281-1150. If you missed anything, you can catch the Biz Talk podcast at www.biztalkwithscore.com. And now, here is Biz Talk.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of Biz Talk. We're glad you joined us this morning. My name's Tony Bush in the studio with Randy Melzer. Good morning, Randy.
Good morning, Tony. It looks like another beautiful winter day out here in Wisconsin.
Yep, another winter day. Our guest this morning is Sarah DeBruin. Sarah is the owner. She's an attorney and she's the owner of Legal Business Edge here in Appleton. And I'd like to also point out that Sarah and Legal Business Edge are a sponsor of Biz Talk. So, good morning, Sarah. We're really glad you could join us this morning.
Well, good morning, Tony and Randy. I'm glad to be here.
Thanks for coming in. We're going to be talking about a lot of things having to do with marital property this morning. So, before we get into that topic, tell us a little bit about yourself and your practice, Legal Business Edge.
Well, Legal Business Edge, I founded in 2011. Prior to that, I was a general counsel in-house, general counsel for a manufacturing company here in the Valley. Prior to that, I was practicing in a large law firm in Ohio where I got my law degree.
Mm-hmm. And your firm has expertise in business law. You focus
primarily in business law, intellectual property law, business agreements, commercial contracts, real estate transactions, banking law, employment law issues as well.
Mm-hmm. And you've been growing since you started. How many people do you have with you now?
Well, I started out in my dining room. I'm in an office now, and I have one assistant, and I'm associated with another law firm where I have a internal reference all the time. So I am growing. My business has grown considerably in the 5 years.
Wonderful.
I've been in business.
Okay. So. And where is that office located?
My office is located near the corner of Northland or 00 and Mead Street in Appleton.
Okay. And Sarah, you have a website, a phone number if folks want to get a hold of you?
Sure. My phone number is 920-851-7761. My website is legalbusinessedge.com. You can also put in my name, Sarah DeBruin, and it'll bring up my Facebook page, my LinkedIn profile, my website, and more information about some of the cases I've been involved in business litigation.
I think you have a very appropriate tagline for your company, too.
Right. My tagline for my company is Know Your Options, and that's really encapsulates my philosophy of my business. I want my business clients to know what options they have under the parameters of the law to make their businesses thrive and grow and to make the correct business decisions when issues arise.
I think that speaks a lot to your attitude about not only representing the client, but making sure they understand it, you're educating them, and they can make better informed decisions no matter what the issue is.
Absolutely. That's my philosophy, and I want business owners to make good, sound decisions for their businesses based on legal issues.
Well, we have a couple minutes. Can you help us understand what is marital property? What is that term? When did it come about?
People often hear it as think of it as something negative, and it often arises. People hear of it in the context of divorce law, but I am not going to be focusing on that today. Marital property is something that came into existence in the state of Wisconsin in 1986 when Wisconsin passed the Marital Property Act. And what marital property means is that the law in Wisconsin presumes that the bulk of a married couple's property that is owned by that couple is marital property unless you can prove by clear documentation or records that property is individual. Now, marital property is going to become marital property on the later date of, number one, your marriage, number two, when you become a resident of Wisconsin, so you can move from a non-marital property state and come to Wisconsin and you start acquiring marital property, or after January 1st of 1986 when the law was enacted, that what, becomes marital property.
What is marital property?
Marital property is...
Give an example if you can.
Everything a property, a couple owns, including cars, what shares in a business.
What does it mean to be marital property? I own my, the car is titled in my name.
Well, title has nothing to do with it. Titled property is still marital property, but you as the title owner of, for instance, your automobile is titled in your name, that gives you
control.
It gives you control. It requires you to manage and control that property for the benefit of the marriage in good faith for your spouse.
But my spouse owns half of it, even though my name is on the title.
True.
Under marital property.
Absolutely.
So when you use the term marital property, just so the folks understand, you're really saying that Randy may own an asset, but his spouse has an equal 50% ownership right in that property.
Right.
And
your,
vice versa.
Your spouse owns what is called a one-half undivided interest in each piece of property by item that you own as a couple and that is acquired during your marriage.
One last point before we take our break. It applies to the wage earner and the non-wage earner.
Right. The whole fundamental issue is behind the law is there was prior to the law an imbalance between a wage earning spouse and a non-wage earning spouse. And what the law does is treat the family unit as a whole economic unit so that property acquired, income earned, during the marriage is for the benefit of the proper of the family and the economic unit of the family.
We're going to take our first break right now. We'll come back on the other side. We're going to start our exciting conversation on marital property. So if you have any questions on that this morning, call in. We're going to be giving out those numbers on the other side of the break. You're listening to Biz Talk on the Voice of the Fox Cities, 1150 WHBY.
I am attorney Sarah DeBruin, owner of Legal Business Edge, and I want you to know your options. Intellectual property doesn't have to be confusing. If you have an original idea and are considering patents, trademarks, copyrights, or protecting your company logo, let me partner with you and make it easy to build and protect your intellectual property portfolio. Legal Business Edge. Know your options. Call 920-851-7761 or visit LegalBusinessEdge.com.
From ordinary tax concerns to extraordinary tax situations, let Alberts & Hayling CPAs help you through tax planning, business consulting, from startup to sell-off, and more. They specialize in creating comfortable financial management plans for you and your business. Call today in the Fox Cities at 886-2241 or in Green Bay at 405-8549. Alberts & Hayling, simplifying the steps toward success. Securities offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Woodbury Financial Services, Inc. and Alberts & Hayling CPAs are not affiliated entities.
You're out there, making life happen, and documenting it, sharing it, living it. Fox Communities Credit Union is right here with you, helping you feel confident, saving you money, and helping you plan for life. Get a loan, get advice, get out there, and enjoy all that happens. Fox Communities Credit Union. Make life happen.
And welcome back to Biz Talk this morning. We're talking with Sarah DeBruin, who is the owner and an attorney at Legal Business Edge, LLC. We're talking marital property this morning. And we're going to get back to Sarah in just a moment. But first, we want to tell you a little bit about our SCORE chapter here in the Fox Cities. Our chapter is located, and our offices are at the Chamber Building, Fox Cities Chamber Building. We have about 53 mentors who basically offer free confidential mentoring to entrepreneurs who are in business or those starting businesses. And we cover a territory from Appleton to Oshkosh to Fond du Lac. We also have the happy, joyous thing to do this year. We're celebrating our 40th birthday. Our chapter was founded 40 years ago, and SCORE is a national organization that is 52 years old. So I think everybody in the Fox Valley ought to be pretty proud that about 40 years ago, some very wise guys and gals sat down and said, let's have our own SCORE chapter here in the Fox Valley. And we're going to be celebrating that coming Small Business Week, May 3rd. Going to pick a Tuesday night. And we'll be putting out more information on that. But if you're in business or if you're thinking of starting a business, consider using SCORE as a mentor to help you solve some of the problems. And you can learn more about our SCORE chapter at foxcities.score.org. So with that, we're going to give out our phone number right now. And our number is 281-1150 in Appleton, 281-1150. And outside Appleton, you can reach us at 866-887-1150. Sarah, tell us a little bit before we get into some of the details and drilling down into the marital property impact and so on. What is the difference between a marital property agreement and a prenuptial agreement?
Well, a prenuptial agreement is entered into before you are married. Mm-hmm. And what that does is define how property will be split between the couple if they end the marriage through divorce. For instance, you might use it in the circumstance where it's a second marriage and you have minor children and you want to protect property for the benefit of your children, mm-hmm. instead of going to your spouse. Because if you don't have that agreement, the law presumes it's all marital property and it will go to your spouse. Now, a marital agreement is an agreement couples can use during the marriage to define or what is individual property versus what is marital property, and it actually operates to elect you out of the Marital Property Act.
Okay.
So, for instance, there's three classes of individual property. That's property that's owned before the marriage and brought to the marriage. Mm-hmm. There are gifts from a third party to one spouse. That is individual property of that spouse. Also, an inheritance to one spouse is that spouse's property. This leads you into discussing more than just marital agreements. If you start commingling those individual properties, you're going to end up presuming all of it is marital property. And by that, I mean, for instance, you bring into the marriage, you've already had a savings account or a checking account, and you get married. During your marriage, you start putting your paychecks into that account or taking the money out of that account to pay family debts and obligations. You have to have a very clear record of what was owned prior to the marriage and what is owned after the marriage. Otherwise, that whole savings account, the interest and the appreciation in that account will all become marital property. So the key thing to keep, I guess, bear repeating is that in order to prove individual property as opposed to marital property, you're going to have a very clear record and trace of ownership.
So documentation and understanding clearly what you're doing is a vital first step in being able to understand how this works.
Right, right. And if you have, if you have, for instance, a business in this, we can start talking about a business owner's interest in his business in Wisconsin. Even if you're a sole proprietor or you partner with several partners or you're a single member LLC, your spouse owns an undivided one-half interest of mm-hmm. your interest in that business.
Okay.
And that's something to be well aware of, because you need to, you can take certain steps to protect mm-hmm. that business interest for the sake of the business itself.
Okay.
Well, with that, we're going to take a quick break here at 9:30, and we'll come back on the other side. We're going to get into the business aspects that Sarah just introduced us to. So we'll give out that phone number again, and if you have any questions, you can give us a call. But you're listening to Biz Talk on the Voice of the Fox Cities, 1150 WHBY.
Are you feeling less than confident in your personal or business finances? At Albertson Haling CPAs, they work with individuals and small business owners to simplify finances and maximize profits. Through a variety of services like asset protection, tax planning, and more, let them guide you through a smooth financial plan. Call today in the Fox Cities at 886-2241 or Green Bay at 405-8549. Albertson Haling, simplifying the steps toward success. Securities offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Woodbury Financial Services, Inc. and Albertson Haling CPAs are not affiliated entities.
We're here today with Bill Bradley, Vice President at Bank First. Bill, we know Bank First was founded over 100 years ago along the lakeshore and has been growing and expanding. We also heard you have plans to build a new location in the Appleton market soon. Can you tell us where you will be located and what we can expect as a new customer of your bank?
Sure. Bank First will be located on Wisconsin Avenue near the Fox River Mall. It will be at the intersection of Highway 41 and Wisconsin Avenue. As a customer of Bank First, you can expect to enjoy a banking experience with a high level of personal attention. We strive to focus on long-lasting relationships by providing flexible options and solutions for both your business and personal needs.
Thanks, Bill. It sounds like a refreshing change to work with experienced people who take the time to understand our needs. For more information, visit www.bankfirstnational.com. Equal housing lender and member FDIC.
I am attorney Sarah DeBruin, owner of Legal Business Edge, and I want you to know your options. We can partner with you to reach creative legal solutions for your business. From contract drafting and negotiation, patents and trademarks, commercial transactions, and governmental compliance.
Timely and candid answers coupled with high energy and passion define Sarah's approach to legal counsel.
Know your options. Call me at 920-851-7761 or visit LegalBusinessEdge.com.
Hey, we're glad you joined us this morning. You're listening to Biz Talk here on the Voice of the Fox City 1150 WHBY. Our guest this morning is Sarah DeBruin. Sarah is an attorney and the owner of Legal Business Edge, LLC, and we're talking about marital property this morning. Before we get back to Sarah, just another quick word about our SCORE chapter here in the Fox Cities. We bring you the Biz Talk program every weekend, and we're happy to do that. I mentioned in the last segment some things about SCORE chapter and how you can make a request for mentoring at foxcities.score.org. And in addition to the mentoring, we also put on a number of seminars during the year. Randy, tell us what's coming up.
Well, one of the things that we try to do is to partner with some of the other local organizations who help entrepreneurs. And one of the partnership programs that we're going to be involved in right now is with Concordia College. Concordia University, excuse me, I should say, here in the Valley. They are going to be doing what they're calling the CU Launch, which is a program to take a look at the business model, how you put your business together, and using what is called a business model canvas. It's a new format that people use as far as being able to determine the model of their business and how to do a business plan. That program is going to be on the evening of February 17th. It'll be starting from 5 until 9 at Concordia University at the office here in our campus here in Appleton, which is located at 4351 West College Avenue. And if you are interested in that, I would recommend either going out to the Concordia website, which is www.cuw.edu, or else on our Fox City SCORE website as well. We will have information about how to register.
Any costs?
For that one, no. It's a freebie. Okay. So, we're going to have SCORE mentors there to help, as well as people from Concordia who'll be working with people on that.
And that morning?
The morning is going to be busy too, so I'm going to be kind of busy just a little bit on the 17th. The morning of the 17th, we're going to have the first session of our Simple Steps program. Simple Steps is a 5-class program. It helps people to put together with their business plan and to make the decision as far as how they want to proceed in their business. The first program is going to be, as you said, on February the 17th. It's going to be held over at the Copper Rock Coffee Shop in downtown Appleton. And it's going to be business basics. How do I get started? And if you are interested in attending that session, you've got until the 10th to register. If you register, the session will be free. So again, to go out to register, take that session free, go out to foxcities.score.org, and then there will be 4 other sessions in the evening each Wednesday thereafter. Those are $25 each, and there will be from 6 until 9 in the evening, going over all the parts and pieces of your business plan.
And the information on those 4 sessions is also on the website, so
yep.
Check out the website, foxcities.score.org, for Concordia University's evening on the 17th and SCORE in the morning.
Right.
We give out that phone number again. It's 281-1150 if you have a question for Sarah on marital property. 281-1150. And outside Appleton, it's 866-887-1150. Sarah, talk a little bit about the impact of marital property law. How does it apply to business?
Well, one of the things I want to circle back on before I get there, Tony, is that marital property law just doesn't address the assets you have. It also addresses the debts you have.
Good point.
Debt is owned equally as well. It's split half and half between the spouses. That includes the debts, for instance, of a sole proprietor's business. Those debts are owned equally by each spouse. Businesses should be aware, a business owner should be aware that once you start up a business, your spouse, even though they have nothing to contribute to the business, they haven't been involved in the business, they don't take out loans in the business's name, they are a half owner in that business. And that needs to be carefully taken care of through two ways of protecting your interest in a business. You can elect out of the Marital Property Act by signing a marital agreement. Let's say, for instance, you live in Illinois and you move to Wisconsin and you're a business owner. It's really important for that business owner to get a marital property agreement with a spouse so that the spouse will give up a right to ownership in that business you might own with other people. Because if you die or get divorced, your business interest is going to be going to your spouse. The marital agreement can do a couple things. It can allow for the buyout or the first right of refusal to your business partners to buy your shares upon divorce or death. It can also limit the spouse's liabilities for another's debts or of the business, for instance. The other thing, the most important thing, I think, is that if you are starting a new business in the state of Wisconsin, whether it's an LLC or a partnership or an S-Corp, you need to have an operating agreement. And operating agreements will usually almost always include what is called a buyout or a buy-sell mm-hmm. provision. Mm-hmm. And that buy-sell provision gives your business partners or shareholders or other members in the LLC the first right of refusal to buy out that deceased partners or members' shares of the business, or it kicks in when there's a divorce as well. Because the last thing you want is an ex-wife or a wife who's never been involved in the business suddenly having a share and say in that business. That's an issue that business owners need to be aware of.
Yeah. And one of the things that I see all the time in that too is that people come up with a situation where they do have buyout agreements in certain situations, but they don't fund them. What are some of the mechanisms are you aware of that people should use to be able to fund such an agreement that says, okay, fine, something happens to me, you'll buy out my that other half?
Well, you could take out insurance as a business for that purpose, for that exact purpose. And you can put in, from your earnings, reserve a certain mm-hmm. amount of money in case that happens.
Well, the best way is the insurance policy.
Yeah,
it's
absolutely.
The cheapest way, and it's, there's no debt payment on it, and it pays the survivor the value of the deceased shares in the company.
Right.
And then the survivor could also take a note back from the company if they want to annuitize something. The company could sign a note and pay the survivor over the next 5 or 10 years, or a combination of insurance and note. And it's very creative, but it needs to be given some thought.
The annuitizing could be addressed in the operating agreement that the business may have 4 years, 3 years, 4 years, mm-hmm. 5 years to pay off the surviving spouse.
Could you clarify something you said, Sarah, that the marital property law gives the spouse equal ownership in the asset and the debt? What do you mean by ownership and the debt?
Each spouse is liable for half of the debt incurred during the marriage.
Okay, what if only the husband signs a debt, like a credit card, and he defaults on that? Does the wife have to pay the debt off?
Well, yes. Basically, yes. In an open-ended or a closed-ended credit transaction, especially a consumer transaction, the creditor is required to look at all of the marital property for purposes of satisfying that debt. Okay. And that gets us into issues related to bank loans and things like that that are important to businesses, too. If we have time to talk about it, we could get there.
Sure. 281-1150, if you have a question for Sarah, 281-1150. And Sarah, tell us your phone number in case someone has a question and they want to follow up with you next week or in the next couple of weeks.
Sure. My phone number is 920-851-7761.
Okay, well, Sarah, we were kind of working our way towards this a little bit when we talk about debt and how that handles. One of the things in a business loan that's involved almost all the time is what is called a personal guarantee. Can you kind of explain a little bit about that and how that affects or comes into play with the marital property?
Sure. A personal guarantee is when a person will personally guarantee the debt. It's it's like a collateral for the debt. And that personal guarantee puts at risk all of your personal assets, including all of the marital property.
So if I'm a small business and I take out a bank loan, I'm an LLC, that doesn't protect me if the bank requires me to have a personal guarantee.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Now, one important, maybe you touched on it already, Sarah, but if we come back to it, is the law presumes that a loan taken out is in the best interest of the family and marital situation. You can't just presume it's not.
Right.
You have to presume it is, and the lenders will probably have you sign a document saying the same thing.
Exactly, and that's just double insurance. That's almost an irrebuttable presumption then that the loan is taken out in the interest of the for the purpose of the family or the spouse or the family unit. Mm-hmm. And you're not going to be able to overcome that presumption then that a loan to your business is not going to be affected by the Marital Property Act.
So sometimes people get that backward. They think that the court has to prove it, but the truth is you have to prove it's not. Is that what you're saying?
You're proving a negative.
Okay.
Yep, proving a negative. You're trying to overcome the presumption of the law that it's marital property.
Okay.
And you know, that's why a creditor has the ability, unlike, you know, an employer, to ask if you're married before they give you a loan.
Well, they have a right in business lending. I know when I was doing business lending, I had experience with maybe a handful of marital property agreements, not prenuptials, but marital property agreements. And on our checklist for documentation, asked the client if they have a marital property agreement, and they did. And then we would have to examine that marital property agreement to see what collateral was available and how strong was the guarantee of the guy who was borrowing the money for his company. His company was borrowing the money. The guy was guaranteeing it. How strong is the guarantee in the context of that marital property agreement?
Well, that's absolutely correct. The law actually requires debtors to bring and show a marital property agreement to a potential creditor before even obtaining credit.
It gets a little complicated, and sometimes the lender will have to hire an attorney to interpret the marital property agreement to protect the lender's interest, but the lender's also trying to protect the borrower's interest. So the lender never wants to enter into something that's going to harm a borrower.
Correct.
So the best way to understand that is for the lender's attorney then to review the marital property agreement and probably have a conversation with the attorney who represented the borrower, the individual, as they prepared that marital property.
Sure, you find out what the intent and purpose was behind that.
Right. Mm-hmm. So how strong is the guarantee? That has an impact on whether or not the lender will make the loan or not.
Right, right. The creditor will look at all of the marital property in order to evaluate the creditworthiness of just one of the spouses.
Just as a quick aside on that, then as part of that marital property agreement, if I would want to, or the wife would want to opt out of that, can they do that? Can they opt out of that responsibility as far as the guarantee, the business loan, that type of thing?
Absolutely. The marital property agreement can limit spouses' obligations for the debts of the other spouse.
Okay.
You can define that, definitely. And you can define what is individual property. The business property is individual property of one spouse.
Okay.
Versus...
But with each
marital
step
property.
That you do that, then we get back to what Tony was talking about as far as the bank lending based on the assets of both. So that can influence whether you get the loan or not, correct?
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
What is the tattletale notice? We hear about tattletale notices. That's probably not a proper legal term. It's probably a disclosure or something. But in the lending business, it's called a tattletale notice. What is that?
Right. What that means is when one spouse applies for a business loan, whether it's an open-ended line of revolving credit or just a closed loan, the creditor, or the lending institution, is going to be sending a notice to your spouse that you have taken out this business loan,
mm-hmm.
and that marital property is going to be an obligation to satisfy that.
Yeah,
that
equity in a
debt.
House,
like,
equity in
yep.
house, or savings account balances.
Correct.
You know, car, if they pledge the car for
cottage, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Yep. So yeah, lending got a little more complicated when marital property came out, and so did the borrowing side.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, looking back on it, I'd say it was really for a good reason.
Right.
Because there were really some horror stories back before this law became play, right here in Wisconsin,
yeah.
where a woman was at home with the children and the guy's out working and bringing in the bread to support the family, but she didn't have any control over anything. And there were some really horror stories out there. And it had to be corrected.
Right. That's the fundamental yeah. basis and reasoning behind the Marital Property Act. It balances
right.
the marital unit for the benefit of both parties.
We're going to take our last break right now. We'll come back on the other side. You're listening to BizTalk on the Voice of the Fox Cities 1150 WHBY.
At Albertson Hailing CPAs, your success is their success. They can clarify any tax situation and help your business take the steps in managing it confidently. They offer services from startup to sell-off, including payroll, bookkeeping, accounting, and more. Albertson Hailing, simplifying the steps toward success. Call today in the Fox Cities at 886-2241 or in Green Bay at 405-8541. Securities offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Woodbury Financial Services, Inc. and Albertson Hailing CPAs are not affiliated entities.
You're out there making life happen and documenting it, sharing it, living it. Fox Communities Credit Union is right here with you, helping you feel confident, saving you money, and helping you plan for life. Get a loan, get advice, get out there and enjoy all that happens. Fox Communities Credit Union. Make life happen.
We're talking with Sarah DeBruin this morning of Legal Business Edge. We're talking about marital property law and how it applies to business owners and to individuals. And before we get back to Sarah, just a quick thank you to all the sponsors who help bring this program to you each weekend for SCORE. The BizTalk program is sponsored by Fox Communities Credit Union, Albertson Hailing CPAs, Legal Business Edge. Sarah DeBruin is here this morning, so thank you, Sarah, for your sponsorship. It's much appreciated. Bank First National. Also want to thank Candeo Creative and Oshkosh for helping to support our BizTalkWithScore.com website. If you missed a program, you can go back to BizTalkWithScore.com and listen to that program. In fact, we'd invite you to come back next week and listen to Sarah's program on marital property law. And finally, we want to thank Larry Desch and Jerry Mader at the Business News for promoting our program, the BizTalk, in their periodical, the Business News, every 2 weeks. If you're in business and you're not subscribed to it, for $20 a year, you're going to pick up a lot of good information about what's going on in the business environment in East Central Wisconsin. Sarah, let's go back and just clarify a term that we used in the first or in the second segment there. We talked about marital property law applying to the debt and the assets, and that the spouse is obligated or has a 50% ownership in the asset, but also has to deal with the debt. Now, having said that, is it true that the just by marital property law, if I go get a car and I sign a car loan at the credit union, and Peggy's going to get a tattletale notice on that, but if I default on making the payments, Peggy doesn't have to make the payments on the loan.
Right. Well, what in that situation is marital property law will require the applying spouse, the person who applied for credit to make payments.
Right.
They can make payments using the marital property.
Right.
But if you default on that loan, your spouse does not have to make those payments. But nonetheless, when
she loses
you are
her
50% making,
interest in the car, though.
She loses her 50% interest in the car, and she also loses, to a certain degree, her marital property rights, because you have the right to use marital property to pay for that car.
Right. So she's not blindly obligated to make a monthly payment of $300. She just loses the equity in the assets.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yep.
Good. Good clarification.
You know, and when you were talking about assets there, I think some of the other things that are involved, of course, are things like 401ks and that type of thing. Is there a relationship there, too?
Sure. Marital property law affects 401ks. You, as a spouse, have a half interest.
That's all your retirement, isn't it?
Yep. Any kind of deferred benefit plan, pension plan, you will have a Marital Property Act apply to that.
Yep.
Each spouse will have one half undivided interest in that. And that, it's important to know, though, that you only, a spouse only owns that half interest as long as they're alive. They can't put it in a will and give it away to somebody. So if you are a surviving spouse, that IRA, that benefit plan comes to you probably out of probate, mm-hmm. and you own the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. So when people are doing their retirement planning, it's smart to plan according to the marital property. Just know that it's out there.
Right. Right, you need to probably consult an attorney if you're dealing with marital property, large amounts of marital property, if you're planning your will and making trusts, and it's a more complicated situation than that.
And as part of an estate planning strategy, it's always good to hire an attorney or talk to an attorney to find out what the current laws are, how do they apply to your situation.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I would advise that.
Okay, yep. Well, as is that time of the day again, we always end up about this point in the show where we put our guests on a little bit on the spot and say, okay, fine, what we need now is going to be your biz tip, that little piece of wisdom for our people out there. So what would your biz tip today be?
Well, my business tip would be today, protect your business through a marital property or a marital agreement or an operating agreement so you can protect your interest in that business from being subject to the marital property laws upon your death or divorce, and keep your spouse's out of running your business.
Okay.
Basically.
So plan ahead.
Yep.
Okay.
Make it a plan.
Well, Sarah, we want to thank you for being our guest this morning. It was very informative, very helpful.
Thank you very
much.
What's
your phone number? How can folks get a hold of you?
851-7761 in Appleton.
Thanks again for your sponsorship of BizTalk.
You're welcome.
You're a good team player, kid.
It's a pleasure.
We also want to say that next week our guest is going to be Bob Moses, and Bob Moses owns a company called Chimera Hobby. Has a place in Oshkosh and Appleton, so interesting story. Tune in next week. You're listening to BizTalk on the Voice of the Fox Cities 1150, WHBY.